That last song was definitely a call to total commitment to our Lord. Love so amazing and so divine. Some of you may not have been able to be here on Wednesday evening and would like to participate today and didn't have an opportunity to give your testimony to one of the ministers in between. I'd like to open that up for anyone who would like to make a public expression at this time.
It's a blessing to be here. We're gathered to remember the suffering and death of Jesus that brought access and relationship to God in a new way. thinking this morning about how God accomplishes his purposes with people who, working through people who are not in his will, and then as well thinking about what happens when there's an unhealthy people consciousness. Reading from Mark, if you'd like to, you can turn to Mark 10. Have been reading in Mark, and in a one-year Bible, and the portions have been, the daily ones have been in Mark, and the last number of days, noticing how the Jewish leaders were in opposition to Jesus and plotting. And so in the providence of God, he used this to accomplish his purpose. Now, this is what Pilate said then, and we find that in, he sensed. This is in 15:10 then. It says about Pilate, for he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. He sensed that it was not a legitimate thing that they were bringing him in front of him. Now, perhaps one of the first times that Jesus, I don't remember if it was the very first time, that Jesus said to his disciples what were the events that were about to happen. I'm going to read 32-34. And they were in the way going to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. And they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And then he said this, that they seemed to not remember when the events then happened. And the third day he shall rise again. So I pondered some about what the basis of their fierce opposition was to Jesus. Some of it may have been that Jesus spoke about dealing with heart issues and seemed like they were about outward appearance. At least the Pharisees, it mentions that sometimes. And like the verse that I referred to a bit ago, Pilate discerned that they had brought him for envy. And I'm not sure what all was involved there, but you know, there were crowds of people constantly following Jesus, and they apparently weren't following them, the Jewish leaders. Now, reading then next in chapter 10 here, verses 41-45. Now, if indeed they were envious because of the following that Jesus got and were conscious of how people looked at them or conscious of position, the problem was it wasn't only out there, but it was also in the disciples. See, James and John had asked for the privilege of sitting at Jesus' right hand and left hand. And then 41 says, and when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. And even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. And so Jesus lived it, and then ultimately that called for him dying then, which he willingly did. chapter 11 then, in verses 17 and 18, and this follows the cleansing of the temple, the driving out those that were using it as a house of merchandise. And 17 says, he taught them, saying unto them, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him. And I don't know that I ever noticed that before. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. and again, the following that Jesus had, it had an effect on him. And I'm not sure just what all it means when it says they feared him. But they were very conscious of what people thought. And you know, fear, at least this kind of fear, and I'm talking about a godly fear, but this kind of fear is always based on people consciousness rather than God consciousness. And they had that. So the next several examples that I'm going to read here briefly are going to show their actions then, or what they would have wanted to do, were kind of stopped because of the fact that they feared the people. And we're going to contrast then at the end to what Jesus did. They asked a question here. Let's see, verse 27. We'll read 27 to 33. And they came again to Jerusalem. This is Jesus and his disciples. And as they were walking in the temple, there came to him chief priests and the scribes and the elders, and say unto him, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority to do these things? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I will also ask you of you one question, and answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. And Jesus was clearly implying that the answer was the same. The answer to the question I'm going to ask you, and the question you asked me, the baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? Answer me. Now, here's where it so clearly shows they had their own agenda. And so, how shall we answer him? It wasn't like we just were open. We just tell the truth. They weighed, what should we say? What's going to be politically correct? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we shall say of men, and here again, they feared the people. For all men counted John that he was a prophet indeed. They answered and said unto Jesus, we cannot tell. Jesus answering saith unto them, neither do I tell you by what authority I do these things. And so their actions were based on, what are people going to think? What are people going to say? 12 verses 1 through 12, I'm not going to read them, but what is happening here? Jesus giving that parable about the man who rented, or however the arrangement was, two men to take care of his vineyard. And then he sent a servant and another one, I'm not sure how many. to gather of the fruit and bring it to him, and then finally he sent his son. But the servants, they beat some and killed some, and then they killed the son. And then, starting at 10, have ye not read this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. This was the Lord's doing, and is marvelous in our eyes. And so it says, they sought to lay hold on him, but feared the people. That's what stopped him. For they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, and they left him and went their way. And then a couple of verses yet from chapter 14. And here then, it had grown on them enough that they actually began to, not just wanted to do it, but actually began to make plans. How are we going to do this? How are we going to get rid of him? After 2 days, this is verse 1. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. So we're going to try to do what we want to do, but we're going to have to be real careful about the people. And then this then, of course, was the beginning of the events that led up to what we're commemorating today. Verse 10 says, and Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And, of course, then they were glad and promised to give him money. 48 and 49, when that actually happened, Jesus asked them this question. Are you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. And so I said in the beginning that God accomplishes his purposes. And then in 15 verses 9 through 11, well, I had already mentioned the fact that Pilate knew that they had brought him because of envy, but he was asking, shall I release him? Because it was custom to release a prisoner. And notice what it says, verse 11, but the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And so again, this thing of fearing the people, and then this thing of working the crowd so that they get their agenda, so it accomplishes what they're trying to do. But wrong as some of these things were, it was yet that the scripture might be fulfilled. And so God will accomplish his purpose even through the wrongs of men. Now, thinking about their people consciousness and trying to work their things, so, well, how can we get this done? You know, Jesus, in contrast to that, was just simply, he simply spoke the truth, he simply did the truth, and then whatever happened as a result of that, he just accepted that. But in contrast to that, they had their agenda and they schemed to bring it about. And so my take from that is that God will accomplish his purposes, and he is delighted to accomplish his will through his people that are submitted to his will. And so I want to be, and I trust you want to be, on that side of it, rather than the fact that God in his sovereignty does accomplish his will even through people that choose to do things that are contrary to him. Let's kneel for prayer.